Praise team. You know, every time I hear that song, I think of one of two things. I think of a Sunday school teacher I had when I was kindergarten age, and I also think of an old deacon one time that was in a church, and this is an oft-told story, so you've probably heard it before. And he was about to retire and move away, and he'd been in his church for 60-something years. And they asked him, and to honor him one Sunday, they asked him if he would get up and say a few words. And when he stood up, all he said was, "Jesus loves me, this I know." And he stated that song, and then he sat down. And Lord, if that's the only thing that we have people remember us by, that is the greatest thing which they can remember us by, knowing that we know the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer one more time, and then we'll get started. Father, thank you again. Now we open your word. Now we come before you, and we ask that you fill us with wisdom, Father, that you fill us with the understanding of your word and how to apply that word to our life, Father. We thank you for the wisdom you gave Solomon, which he recorded for us. But Lord, we know that it originated and came from you. So Lord, we take it as such. Lord, please remove me from this and let your spirit speak for itself. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, we're going to be in Proverbs again. We're going to be in Proverbs throughout September. We'll change up in October. But wanted to go in Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to be in verse 27 through 35. And I titled this sermon, Getting Along. And the reason I call it a Getting Along is we, as believers, as church, sometimes we get a little confused. We see the world have success. We see the world have material wealth and fame and all these things. And we think, well, if we just do things the way they do it, then we would be able to use those things to get things for Christ, to have a bigger church, to have more influence on the community. And those, brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that the Bible tells us, do not use the world's wisdom. Now, this text this morning we have is going to be in two parts. First, it's how we treat our neighbors. And then we're going to get into the other part, which is do not do the thing the way the world does it. But I think they go together. Because the way we treat our neighbors sometimes is the way the world treats our neighbors. You know, we have these sitcoms on TV, and we have these stories, and we have real life experience. Oh, our neighbor's crazy, our neighbor's this, our neighbor's that. Brothers and sisters, we are called to love our neighbor. And who is our neighbor? And Jesus answered that question. Anyone that needs you is your neighbor. So let's start at Proverbs 3, and we're going to start through 27 and 30, and then we'll go through the latter verses. Let's go through 27 and 30, Proverbs 3. When it is in your power, don't withhold good from the one it belongs to. Don't say to your neighbor, now right there, the one it belongs to is your neighbor. Don't say to your neighbor, go away, come back later, and I'll give it tomorrow when it is there with you. Don't plan any harm against your neighbor, for he trusts you and lives near you. Don't accuse anyone without cause when he has done you no harm. Now, we'll finish the rest of the text in a little bit. But let's think about that. These proverbs fit together, as we said, to teach us to live at peace with God and with others. That's a hard thing for us to do. To live at peace with God and others. Oh yes, we might be able to say in our hearts, we live at peace with God. But when you got a next door neighbor who's doing things at 3 o'clock in the morning out in the yard, and you'd rather go to sleep, and there's loud music, and they're always borrowing stuff from you and never return it. I mean, neighbors do a lot of things. But we do a lot of things also. We can be that neighbor. And right now, I don't want to hear no Mr. Rogers jokes, okay? Because I'm not going to sing, "Won't You Be My Neighbor," okay? We're not going to go there. But the point is, we need to act toward our neighbor as we would to any fellow Christian. We need to treat him with honor and dignity and respect. Is it hard to do? Yes. Sometimes it is very difficult to do. And not because of the choices we make, but the choices the other person makes, your neighbor makes. But however, the Bible doesn't say, treat your neighbor well if they're good. It says to love thy neighbor as thyself, doesn't it? Well, let's look at verse 27 real quick. When it is in your power, don't withhold good from the one it belongs to. We've already explained the one it belongs to. when it is in our power, don't withhold good things. Don't say to your neighbor, go away, come back, and I'll give it tomorrow. When it is there with you, don't plan any harm against your neighbor, for he trusts you and lives near you. Don't accuse anyone without cause when he has done you no harm. You see, I'm reading these verses again because we need to understand these things. We are commanded to do good things in this life. Now, sometimes we find ourselves doing the not so good things. And you know, a good sign that you are really a believer is when that happens and God brings that to your attention, there is a godly sorrow. None of us in here like being treated badly by our neighbors. None of us. And yet, when times get hard, when tasks get difficult, sometimes we are the first ones to say, well, they're not doing right. Of course they're not doing right. No one's arguing that. I see some of y'all hitting each other out here. Y'all better cut that out now. You're telling the preacher too much. We want to do what is right. But our carnal nature, our human nature, is if we go back to an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. If they're going to keep me up all night, well, I'm going to do something to keep them up all night. No, that's not the way it works. If God gives you the ability to help someone, then use that opportunity to do what? To get even? To get back? No. Use that opportunity to share the love of Christ with that person. Now, it may not be going and handing them a tract and bringing them a potato salad and knocking on the door. Do you know Jesus? It might not be that method. But it is a method. There are times for that now. Don't misunderstand me. But there are times when we are to treat folks the way we want to be treated. And if we're in need and someone comes to us and helps us, then when we see someone else in need, we need to go to them. That is sharing the love of Christ. Having an ear to listen is sharing the love of Christ. If you've got a neighbor, and folks, when I say neighbor, please don't misunderstand. That's not always the person living next to you, okay? It's anyone who comes to you in need or that you find in need. And they've had something horrible happen in their life, and they want to talk to somebody. They may not know you very well, but when they start opening up, it just comes out like a flood. What are we to do in those cases? No, I don't want to hear this. I got my own problems. No. If we were to share with somebody, we would want them to hear us. Not only hear us, but listen to us. They may not be able to give any good advice on how to fix the problem, but they can listen. And once you get it off your chest, don't you feel lighter? Once they get it off their chest, don't they feel that they've shared something? I believe they have. And that is sharing God's love. Because how many times have we, as my grandma used to say, pried God's ear off? There's times when we've opened up to the Lord and we have spilled out for hours upon end. And He listens graciously. And we should return that by doing the same for those that need it. And we don't need to put off helping our neighbor. It says, don't say to your neighbor, go away and come back later. You know, if your neighbor runs out of gas for his lawnmowers, he only got a little bit left to go, and he comes, he said, hey, do you have a little bit of gas I can borrow from a lawnmower? I'll get it back to you later. And this, you got a 5-gallon bucket full of gasoline next to you, and you say, no, I don't have any. Go away, come back. If you got it there, you need to give. Now, folks, this isn't just me saying, give them everything you got. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is what God said. If your neighbor comes to you and you've got it, don't send them away. If you've got it to give to them. Now, brothers and sisters, this can be in many aspects of our life, many situations. But we are not to put off helping our neighbor, especially if they are in dire need. And do not plot or scheme any harm to your neighbor. Do not take advantage of them either. Use the time given to encourage and help them. What do I mean by that? Well, that was 29. Don't plan any harm against your neighbor, for he trusts you and lives near you. They're living beside you. Now, I know in modern times people buy property and you don't really get to choose your neighbor and things like that. All that, let's leave that to the side. But they do live near you and they trust you. They trust you not to hurt them. They trust you not to cause them harm. And part of causing harm is scheming and plotting. Well, I'm going to get even with them. That guy's bushes grew over my fence, and I've told him, and I can't stand that, and I'm going to do something. His dog's barking all night, and I'm going to slip a little antifreeze under the fence. Folks, we scheme and plot at our own peril because God does not like a schemer. God does not like one who plans their own vengeance. Who does the Bible say vengeance belongs to? God. He will repay. And it may prove long-suffering. It may prove difficult. It may prove that you're going to have problems for a long time, but you do not cause harm to those that trust enough to live near you. Now, you may not have any other dealings with them. I understand. I've got neighbors on my street that has lived there 10, 15 years. I have no idea who they are, because they keep to themselves. And we keep to ourselves for a lot of times. But, you know, when someone comes and introduces me, hey, how you doing? You want some ice water? You know, glad to see you. But knowing that, I think and I pray that none of those neighbors that live around me wants to cause me harm. They're not scheming or plotting. There's some neighbors I have to question that two or three times. But in the likewise, I don't plot and scheme to hurt them, because I know that I have to answer to a higher authority. And I want those to live in peace. In fact, the Bible tells us that in 1 Peter, I believe, I may be wrong on that, it says that if it's up to you, live at peace with all men. That's difficult, especially in an age where we're taught early on it's a dog-eat-dog world. You need to, if you want to advance in society, you need to step on people. But don't forget, young pet folks, as you're climbing the ladder, the folks that you passed on the way up are going to be there when you're on the way down. And you're going to need help. And how is that help going to come? It's going to come from people that trust you. We encourage each other and we help each other when God gives us that opportunity. And part of that helping and encouraging each other is not employing the world's ways when it comes to dealing with our neighbors. Now we're going to move on to verse 30, to the end of the chapter. And we're going to talk about a little differently. Now put our dealings with our neighbors to the side. We're going to revisit it in a little while, but let's put it to the side right now. Let's start at verse 30 in Proverbs 3. Excuse me, verse 31. Don't envy a violent man or choose any of his ways, for the devious are detestable to the Lord, but he is a friend to the upright. The Lord's curse is on the household of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. He mocks those who mock, but gives grace to the humble. The wise will inherit honor, but he holds up fools to dishonor. Now, brothers and sisters, again, we see here that if we're acting prudently and godly with our neighbors, then we are part of the home of the righteous. We are part of the humble. We are a friend. Our God is a friend to those upright that keep His Word, keep His law, keep His statutes, keep His precepts, keep His understandings. We understand we're not to harm anyone on purpose. Now, folks, you break into my house at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to put you down. That's not what we're talking about. Defending yourself from harm or your family from harm is not what we're talking about. We're talking about going on a hunt. We're talking about doing evil on purpose. That is what God detests. And we have to know this. Well, we are not to envy a violent man. We are not to use any of the world's ways that are used by violent men to hurt others. You know, there are many ways that people can do evil, but yet still be praised. You know, you might have heard this about Mussolini and the dictator in Italy in the 1920s and 1930s and early 40s. You know, they said, well, he was a dictator, but he made the trains run on time. Big whoop! He was an evil man. You know the guy that lived to the north of him in Germany was an evil man. And what happened to both of them? They met their fate that they chose for themselves by being evil. Brothers and sisters, we are not to do what dictators do. We're not to do what abusers do. We're not to do what robbers and manipulators do. You know, manipulation is a big art form. They teach that sometimes. They call it different names. They call it rhetoric, and they call it psychology, and they call it sociology, and all these other things. But basically, it's how I can manipulate someone else to do what they want me or I want them to do. Folks, any salesman goes through those classes. Why do you think you see the guys on TV advertise the way they do? Because they're trying to get you. They're trying to manipulate you to believe that without this product that they're selling, my life is going to be miserable. Now, they're not violent, but they're manipulative. I had a guy one time, I was interviewing for a job when we first moved up here. Didn't get the job. But he said, well, what do you do? And I said, well, I go to a seminary. I'm a pastor at a small church. And he said, oh, you're a pastor. You're a good salesman then. You would be right into this job because you can tell people what to do and they'll do it. And I said, how many pastors have you been around? We present the Word of God. We present the truth, and people have to make the decision whether to believe it or follow it or not. We don't sell anything. I don't sell salvation. I tell you of salvation. I tell you the truth of Jesus Christ, that He forgives you because of the blood He spilled on the cross. He was dead and buried, taking the punishment that you deserved and I deserved. And He was dead and buried and raised to life. And all those that believe in Him have eternal life. That's not a sales pitch. That's the gospel truth. That's what we base our lives on if we are true followers of Jesus Christ. I don't go and smack somebody upside the head and say, believe or die. There's another group that does that. We don't do it. The world says, you're idiots, you're fools. If you're going to believe all this old stuff, get what you can now. I don't want what they have now. I've seen what they have. I mean, I want enough to pay my bills and I want enough to come to work and all that, but I don't want the great big grandeur and the fame and all that stuff. It's worthless when you pass, isn't it? What are they going to do? At the most, they'll build you a nice tombstone or put you in a sarcophagus somewhere. 100 years from now, you won't be able to read the writing. You don't believe me? Go to any cemetery and find a 100-year-old tombstone and you can barely make out. 150 years old? You can't make it out at all. That person is forgotten. In fact, I told you this a couple weeks ago, but there was a guy that told me you die twice on earth. The first time you die is when you die physically, and the second time you die is when your name is spoken for the last time on earth. But you see, believers, our name is spoken in eternity, so we don't really have to worry about that. Because we are known by our God. We are known by our Father. And as a loving Father, He doesn't want us to copy foolish, violent ways in our personal life or in our church life. Folks, if we're going to use what the devil has, then we're not following Christ. If we're going to use methods, if we're going to use systems, if we're going to use lies to get what we want, that makes us no greater than the ones who do not believe. Brothers and sisters, it's a hard thing to understand that God's ways are not our ways, but they are the right ways. They are the ways that we need to live. We use His ways, His wisdom, godly wisdom, to do the work of the kingdom and our own personal work. The Bible says, thou shalt not steal. You go to and you start embezzling money, you start taking off the top of the till, what's going to happen? Eventually, you're going to get caught. I had a neighbor lady when I lived home, and she worked in the courthouse there in our county. And she was in the tax assessor's office. or excuse me, tax collector's office. And people would come in and pay their taxes. Well, she had figured out the way to charge people a little more than they actually owed. And it was found out because some guy came in, he had a tax bill, and he had the previous year's tax bill, and there was a big difference. And so the comptroller came and said, "Where's this money?" Because it wasn't where it should have been. And it all got traced back to my neighbor lady. And she had over a period of 10 years embezzled about $300,000 to $400,000. And folks, she got caught. She got caught with about three other people who were doing it in the courthouse also, in different departments. And they all spent a little time at Club Fed in Florida. Okay, if you're not familiar with that, it's the federal penitentiary for white-collar crimes in Pensacola, Florida. It's called Club Fed. And she spent 3.5 years there. Plus, she lost her house, she lost all her assets that she had bought, and she ended up paying back every single dime. She used the world's methods to get ahead. You remember what John the Baptist told the soldiers when they said, "What should we do?" He said, "Be content with your pay." Folks, we are to be content with what God has given us. We are to be content in the life He has given us. Does that mean we don't strive for anything better? No, it doesn't mean that. God has all kinds of plans, especially young folks. You're not going to live in your mom and dad's basement forever. At least you shouldn't. Because God has a plan for you to go out and do better and to do things and to take care of your mom and dad when they're older. Maybe different ways, but you see, there's a cycle in this life. And we're to use love and mercy and care for each other. For each other. Now, brothers and sisters, throughout the Bible, God states His hatred towards the sin of tricking and scheming against others. But oppositely, He helps those who do things His way. In fact, we read where it says, "But He is a friend to the upright, and He blesses the house of the righteous, along with the Lord's curses on the household of the wicked. How can we not understand that if we're going to do evil, God's going to allow the consequences to fall upon our heads? He may not zap you with that bolt of lightning, but somebody's going to find out. And when somebody finds out, it's a mess. It's a mess." Well, I want to read 33 through 35 again and then move on from there. 33 says, "The Lord's curse is on the household of the wicked, as we just read, but He blesses the home of the righteous. He mocks those who mock, but gives grace to the humble. The wise will inherit honor, but He holds up fools to dishonor." God places a curse upon those of a wicked household. And when God curses you, you are doomed unless you repent and say and are saved. Now, brothers and sisters, there is a curse on all of us because of sinfulness. That's understood. And we are saved by grace through faith. But when you are living your life and you choose to do what is evil, to get ahead, you scheme, you plot, there is an extra curse that falls upon you. Why? Because during the process, you have destroyed relationships. You have destroyed relationships at work. You've destroyed relationships within your family. You've destroyed relationships with your friends. If you're constantly scheming and plotting, and let me tell you something, those that you may scheme and plot with, you may believe that they're going to help you in the end. No, they won't. They're only going to help themselves. Guess who's going to be the pigeon when they get caught? It won't be them. It will be you. And brothers and sisters, the only way out of that is to embrace Christ and use the godly wisdom that He is giving you to live out your life. Conversely, to the wicked being doomed, the blessing falls upon those who proclaim righteousness. Now, I've got to stop right here because we got to understand the blessings of God may not appear like blessings to some folks. Because why? Because all those that want to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. We're going to have problems with this world when we live godly. But that is not an excuse, because the blessing of having the presence of the Lord with us and within us and all around us is much greater than any material blessing that could ever possibly exist. Why? Because material blessings can be taken away. But the presence of God can never be taken away. not in heaven, not on earth, not in things under the earth, not by anything made. Anything that was created, the end of Romans 8 tells us, can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. If the blessing is upon you, then you have the blessing. And nothing can take it away. And He mocks those who mock. He scorns the scornful. Are we mockers? Are we scornful? Do we sit back on our self-righteous haunches and say, well, look at so-and-so. Look, I'd never do that. Look at this person, how they're doing it. Until one day you find yourself looking up from the hole and needing help. And you see, that's where we go back to that part I told you to hold on to. Because there's going to come a day, brothers and sisters, when we are the neighbor and we are the ones needing help. And if you treat folks like garbage, guess what you're going to receive? Garbage. If you treat folks in a godly way, now not everybody may treat you in a godly way, but somebody will. Doesn't the Bible tell us in Galatians, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. If you're sowing mocking and scornfulness, what are you going to receive when the time comes? Mocking and scornfulness. But if you're treating people as God wants you to treat them, He is going to send somebody to treat you in a godly manner. And brothers and sisters, that will be a blessing that you will never, ever forget. I have been the beneficiary of blessing upon blessing since I've become a pastor. Brothers and sisters, there are people that have gone on to the Lord that I remember that blessed me. In fact, I was looking through one of my books the other day, and it's Strong's Concordance. Any of y'all know what a Strong's Concordance is? Several of our teachers, yep, I know what that is. Well, when I first surrendered to preach, there was a man at my home church. His first name was Bob. He actually graduated high school with my dad. And he heard that I was going to become a youth pastor at the time, that I was going to pursue my education. And he wrote on the inside. Now, he'd been my RA teacher when I was in the 7th and 8th grade. I remember RAs. Some of us, okay. Royal Ambassadors. But anyway, he wrote, he said, "Dear Charles," and I'm paraphrasing here, "may God strengthen you and provide you with a ministry where you will see the greatness of service to the King." And he signed it. Now, I might be off a few words, but that's what I remember. He's gone on to the Lord. But you know, every time I look at that and I open that, when I'm trying to find a Greek word or a Hebrew word or something like that, it's in my office. I remember Brother Bob. And I remember the encouragement he gave me to pursue what God had called me to pursue. At that time, we didn't know what we were going to do. You know, I was still a paramedic and we were going to move and do part-time. God laid out the plan. God blessed us through not only Brother Bob, but countless others. Countless others. But what if I was a mocker? What if I made fun of God? What if I made fun of God's people? What if I scorned God's people? I don't want nothing to do with you bunch of Christians, you bunch of hypocrites. Every time I hear that, and I say, well, one more ain't going to make no difference. Come on. Some of y'all will get that. But how many people say that? How many people do we talk to? I don't want to go to church. I'm too busy. I got other things going on. Or, you know, someone in that church hurt me many years ago. Well, how many years ago? It was 30 years, but so what? It's just like it was yesterday. That person's been dead 15 years. That's the kind of stuff we hear. That's the kind of scornfulness that destroys people, not the church. God's church is going to be okay. He's the King. We're good. But that individual will lose blessing upon blessing, lose the help that God would send him. He will be mocked and scorned by the demons that he serves if he rejects and mocks God. And that's a sad sign. We must humble ourselves because it says He gives grace to the humble in verse 34. We must humble ourselves before Him so that we may receive what? His grace. He gives grace to the humble. Brothers and sisters, especially us Westerners, we Americans, it is hard to humble ourselves. We're taught from the beginning, you're number one. You can be all you can be. Well, that's the army, but never mind. Sorry about that, brother. You can achieve any goal. You can go to school and make millions of dollars. Folks, I can guarantee you, every college out there, there's 95% of them who have degrees in basket weaving that ain't never going to get a job outside of McDonald's. Okay? Because they pursued an easy path instead of something that would help them or help others. Now, if you got a degree in history and stuff like I do, God bless you. But I can go up to JJ's and put my degree on the table, and they're still going to make me pay for my meal. Folks, y'all forgive me. I've got a cramp in my leg right now, and I'm having to lean over, so y'all just bear with me, okay? It's an amazing thing to be able to humble yourself before God. And not only before God, but we're to act humbly in front of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're not to lord things over them. We're not to say, I'm a better Christian than you. I got more than you. God's blessed me more than you. Look at what I got. You're just an old sinner. Even though you go to church. Guys, that's garbage. Don't do that stuff. Be a real brother and real sister with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Walk the journey with them. Be humble enough to bear their burdens and weep with them when they weep, and rejoice with them when they rejoice. Be humble enough to do that, and you will receive the grace of God in buckets. In buckets. These wise enough to honor God through their behavior, their lives will receive honor from Him. The wise will inherit honor. All the wisdom that God gives us. And we're going to go through in the next couple of Sundays in September as we finish up Proverbs. We're going to be going through a lot of practical wisdom. But you've got to be wise in the eyes of God, who gives a wisdom that the world not only cannot, but will not receive or understand, because they don't have the heart of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives you the wisdom to know what these words mean and how to apply them every day. When the opportunity comes up for you to apply that wisdom, the Holy Spirit will say, listen up, here's your chance. Show, act, do what God has called you to do. And you will receive a blessing for it. I'm telling you, I'm bearing witness, if you will follow God's prompts, then you will receive blessings you will not know about until you understand that you have them. Do the things God calls you. Now, let me warn you. The devil will try to get you to do things on your own. Well, you know, if I do this, man, folks are going to like me. I'm going to be, you know, folks are going to look up to me. And don't do it for that reason. Only do it when God calls you to do it. Well, how will I know, Brother Charles? You will know because it will bring glory to God and not yourself. That's how you know. And when you follow that, you will receive grace. And conversely, those who disobey Him, who mock Him and His people, will receive dishonor from God Himself. You know, God does not sit on His throne with His arms crossed and say, hey, yeah, you got what you deserve. No, 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 no. He says to His people, you are not going to get what you deserve. And if you do deserve it, come to Me, and I will give you rest. Come to Me, I will bless you. I will honor you. I will give you the grace you need. But if you refuse, you're on your own. Now that is a hard thing to think that God would say, but that's what the Scripture says. Holds up fools to dishonor. If you are foolish enough to reject God and to say, I don't need Him, I don't need His Word, I don't need anything like that, I'm my own man. I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. Brother, you got a heavy dose of pride. And pride goes before a fall. And only the foolish people trust in their pride rather than their Maker. Brothers and sisters, we got to understand this in the world. We do not do what the world does. We do not do Christian things using the world's methods. You know, I'm sure if we wanted to have people busting out the seams, we'd have some nice fancy lights and we'd paint the sanctuary weird colors and we'd have smoke machines and a rock band and all that kind of stuff. Brothers and sisters, if you want entertainment, that's fine. There are times that you can be entertained. If you want to worship God Almighty and hear His Word, come to church. A real God-breathed Bible preaching church. And I'm not blowing my own horn in because there's a lot I could do better. I can tell you that right now. But I have to answer to the Almighty. You have to answer to the Almighty. Why are you here? To be entertained, or are you here to worship? If we're here to be entertained, then we're acting like fools. Because you can get entertained anywhere. But if you're here to worship God, praise be to Him forever and ever and ever. Thus, brothers and sisters, we're to love our neighbors and do good to them. And we're not to choose the violent ways of gain. But we are to wait on the blessing of the Lord. And in His hands I commit all these things that we've said today, that you may remember them when the time comes to choose to love your neighbor or to choose to go against the ungodly ways of the world. Praise team. Only advice I can give right now, folks, is don't, when you're 56, don't act like you're 36, okay? Oh! Whew. Brothers and sisters, it's been a good week. We are having Bible study tonight. I know some are going to be finished Labor Day weekend, but we are going to have it. I'm going to give a brief report on the things that went on at the convention, the executive board. I'll tell you about our new executive director, Dr. Fowler. And I'll tell you about some other things going on tonight before we have our Bible study. We are having our full Bible study, so please come and enjoy tonight. And don't forget our weekly activities. Now, we're not going to be here tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'm going to be in a porch swing under a shade with a big floppy hat on, relaxing in the breeze, okay? That is, unless I have other plans that I don't know about yet. But we won't be here tomorrow. But Tuesday we'll be back. Wednesday night, Brother Jeff's group, you're meeting Wednesday night? Amen. Y'all, if y'all haven't checked that out, check that out. I think I'm hearing some good things about it. I unfortunately can't go on Wednesday because I have to go pick Christine up at school at 5 o'clock and I can't get back up here in time. But please enjoy that. And of course, next Sunday we'll get right back into it. So may the Lord bless and keep you. Let's stand.